Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Ob Work Guest podcast. So glad you're here for the next 1,500 episodes of the show. Pam and Ricky are standing by, and we're going to have some fun Walt Disney World discussion here to get the weekend started a bit early. But don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. They are a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best for the amount of trips they book each and every year, and more importantly, the feedback they get from their guests. So when it comes time for your next Disney adventure, trust the best. There's lots of Disney travel agents out there, but not many are a platinum earmarked agency. So remember that when you're booking that next Disney trip. And speaking of that next Disney trip, of course, we can now book the 2020 packages. So if you are ready for that adventure to Walt Disney World in 2020, now is the time. Drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free, no obligation quote form, and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Again, check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Thanks to everybody who continues to support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. We can't thank you enough for that. It's very simple. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra. You just click through the link. So bookmark it on all your devices, and thanks in advance. We're at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1501 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. And if you haven't heard, happy 2020 Walt Disney World booking season. That's right. If you're thinking about heading down to Walt Disney World anytime in 2020, finally, I've been getting all those emails. You guys burned out my email address asking, hey, when are those 2020 packages going to become available? I'm like, I don't know. And then I started saying June 18th. And now I'm saying, let's do it. Let's get it done before I go down on the cruise, especially. But we have agents standing by. We have a great team over at the Magic for Less helping you get everything squared away for 2020. Of course, you can now add tickets and dining to that package. So if you have a room only, we can get that squared away as well. So just, it's a great time. And 2020 is an exciting time to be at Walt Disney World. Of course, a little Star Wars action down there. New transportation systems, new restaurants, and much more. So check that out. All the details over at themagicforless.com. And we'll be talking about that moving forward here on the show. But today, you know what? We actually started a mini-series last Friday and didn't even mean to do it. But one of our listeners said, you know, emailed me and said, you know what? I love that comparison of Beach Club and Yacht Club because there's pros and cons to each. And we kind of discussed those. We didn't mean to. Well, I mean, we're just talking about the two resorts. And he asked if we would kind of do the same thing as a mini series for some of the resorts down at Walt Disney World that are considered basically sister resorts. So today we are going to jump onto that bandwagon and talk about Disney's French Quarter versus Disney's Port Orleans Riverside. What are the pros and cons to each? Why might you pick one over the other? Which ones have, you know, advantages, disadvantages? So we're going to have that conversation today. So joining me, of course, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com. touringplans.com and the Mouse for Less. And I didn't wish you happy 1500, so happy 1501, Ricky. What's going on?
Thanks. You're the best. Happy 1501, everybody. Woo, we made it. Looking forward to another great weekend here. So, you know, not as Instagrammy, let's just say, as last weekend was, but maybe it will be Instagrammy. I don't know. We'll see.
Mallory calls it now. Everything she says is she always comes up to me and says, is that for the gram? That's her thing. I'm like, yeah, of course that's for the gram. That's why I ordered that outfit for the cruise. It's for the gram.
Anyway. Exactly. Yes.
All righty. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, happy Friday. What's going on?
Happy Friday. My time is coming very quickly before I have to go to Disney. Well, not have to, but I'll be leaving to go on the cruise and then to Walt Disney World and stuff like that. So I can't believe it is finally coming. You know, you plan these group cruises like 2 years in advance or so, a little less, depending on, you know, when the things are announced. And it goes so quickly. And I can't believe this is the fifth one we've done. So anyways, just was thinking about that, reflecting a little bit today.
Yeah, I was looking at all the pictures on the, you know, over the years that we've, mm-hmm. you know, we always do a group picture or two during the cruise. And The thing when I was just real quick, I mean, I can't wait to go on this cruise again. This is always the highlight of my every other year, the odd year excitement, I call it. The best pictures, though, are kind of the ones where there's one of me that I have with Mike Bankhead, and he's wearing a Wedway Radio t-shirt, and we're having pizza back at the end of the boat, you know, like 11:30 at night. And that's just the good times. You know, we had, I mean, Scott being hypnotized and playing a piccolo last cruise. That was a good time. You know, it's just like there's so many memories, but it's never anything that's formally like on the schedule that we were planning. It's always the crazy stuff. So, but we got some surprises. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll be sharing all that here on the show.
It is. And then afterwards, you can join us on July 4 at Epcot. We will be in the Japan Pavilion there. That's a great location because it's sort of opened up and we'll be there for all the 4th of July festivities. So it'll be a good day.
That's right. It's a salute to all podcasts, but mostly us. So
mostly the BOGP. Yes. Love it.
Yes. And I want to say there will be lots of selfies. So be ready because I want to post tons of selfies that night on social media. So yes. Be ready. Hop in. So, and we'll try to do a group picture around 8:30. That'd be kind of cool just because we haven't done that in a while at Walt Disney World. So that won't be hard. Like in Epcot on the 4th of July, I tried to get a big group together for a picture. We'll have to go over to France, maybe get a photo pass person, drag them over or something. I don't know. We'll see what we can do.
We'll find something.
We'll bribe. All right. So today we're hopping in again, talking about French Quarter versus Riverside. Why you might pick one over the other. Okay, so let's hop in and let's go with first timer. If you're a first timer, because George is actually in the chat and he's sailing with us on the podcast cruise, coming all the way from Hawaii with his family. I cannot wait to, I feel like I know George, like he's like a brother and we've never met in person. So this is actually, can you believe George has always been with us on the podcast, always in the chat, always, you know, talking about everything. Now he's never been to Walt Disney World, Pam. Did you know that? Never been to
Wait,
World.
What?
I did know this. I knew this. Yes.
How
I
crazy
know.
Is that? He's going to be blown away. This is going to be, I can't wait. His jaw is going to be like,
oh,
I
my
know.
Gosh.
I know, right? It's so funny. Yeah, he's much closer to Disneyland, of course.
I knew
than
that. Yeah.
The world. Yeah. But he and his family will be, I think if you come from knowing Disneyland and then go to Disney World, it seems so much larger in scope in different ways. It's different. It is a different experience, but there's just so much to do. And I think you kind of feel like, you know, with Disneyland and California Adventure, you feel like you can kind of get a handle on both of those because they're so close to each other. Well, this is 47 square miles of fun, my friends. So it's harder to sort of wrap your head around that, but you're going to have a great time for sure.
And the whole thing is, to me, what I've learned, and I think George and I think we've talked a lot, it's the resorts, really. I mean, the theme parks are amazing, but the resorts mm-hmm. are just as amazing in a different way. And especially when you're trying to just vacation, you know, like not have to go 1,000 miles an hour, which I'm sure he will, knowing George. But okay, so Riverside versus French Quarter. Let's say a first timer. Where would you put a first timer, Ricky, and why? Like, say somebody's going and they're like, oh man, I've narrowed it down. I've got all these hotels. I've got it down to the Port Orleans resorts, but I can't decide. Riverside or French Quarter, where would you put somebody and why? Because there's really not a right or wrong answer, but it's like hearing opinions.
No, okay, so for a first timer, I think that I would go with French Quarter just because it is smaller. And so it's a little less confusing for a first timer to kind of maybe walk around and get the feel of. And it will still give them that idea of what a Disney resort is. But I feel like the size of the resort is definitely going to be appealing to a first timer just because, you know, like you said, it's such a grand nature of everything is so larger than life that I think having a smaller resort with only one bus stop versus the multiple bus stops around, you know, the loop, I think that that's going to be a much better choice for someone who has never been.
I agree with that. I think that it's a safer resort in what I mean by safer is that you don't have to navigate quite as many options. You know, like I remember one night, Pam never lets me forget about this. We're staying at Riverside again next week. So I guarantee you this will come up as soon as Magical Express drops us off. Like she will share this story again, how she was so mad at me because it was a night we'd been at the Magic Kingdom too late. We were exhausted. Mallory, I think, had a meltdown. You know, she was like 6. Well, she still has them at 11, but she was 6 probably that trip. I don't know. You know, you're like, you're exhausted, you're on the bus, you're falling asleep. They kick on the lights when you go around, you know, like the lights have been off. They turn the bus lights on, 1,000, you know, lumens, it kills your eyes. And I'm like, this is our stop. So we get off the bus. Of course, it's not our stuff. It's not where we're staying. It's the opposite end of the resort. And I hadn't been there before. So we're like hoofing it like in all these paths, like through Alligator Bayou, getting lost, like walking in circles. Then we finally get to the mansions. You can avoid that at French Quarter. I think George is going to be fine. He's at Riverside. I don't think he'll get lost. I'll help him. I'll, you know, no worries. But it's one of those things, I think, Pam, do you agree that if you're really kind of a newbie to the whole Walt Disney World experience, the Disney experience even, that the French Quarter just, it gives you less chance to get lost and less chance to wander off?
Yeah, it is. It's a much smaller resort. You can basically, if you're at one end, you can pretty much see to the other end, right, of it. The last building, you know, if you're looking down one of those big open areas. So I think that, you know, that's true. You know, Riverside is larger, definitely. It has two different distinctly themed areas. And for me, that's one of the pluses of Riverside, is that I can either choose to be in the Bayou, which I think the rooms are adorably cute. And if you have one that has a pull down, you know, for that fifth sleeper, of course, you see a little bit of the Princess and the Frog there. But then they also have the mansion rooms, which have the princess room. So that's a really themed room as well. Our French Quarter really just has one style of room. Now, within the resort, there are a couple different, you know, you can look at the different buildings, and there's some cool things that you got to look for there too. But they really only have one style of resort.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's one of the things to consider, that if you really want to have a lot of options in your accommodations, Riverside is the place to go. Royal Rooms, you also have the choice between Alligator Bayou and the mansions, and two really different feels to your vacation. Not one, one's not better than the other. Because I stayed at Alligator Bayou for the first time over Marathon weekend. I loved it. It was really rustic and cool. And people have been saying that for years, but I was like, I like the mansions. You know, we're booking a Royal Room when we go down here next week, just because my girls love them. And actually, they're in a really good location. We like that location anyway, so it's kind of like a little extra bonus. They're a little bit extra, but they're fun. George is saying he's at Saratoga for the first part of his stay. Good luck, bro. That's an easy place to get lost. So pay attention. I'm just saying, I ran there and I got lost a couple times. But no, it's a great resort too. All right, so let's talk. And that was going to be my next thing, was if you wanted to pick a room, you know, they're pretty much uniform at French Quarter. You got options at Riverside. So let's go dining. So, of course, you know, there's, I think Riverside obviously is where to go there. But Ricky, walk us through dining choices when you're trying to pick between these two.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think Riverside is probably the better dining option, just because you do have, you know, boat rides as an option. You do have the mill, right? Riverside Mill?
Yep, yeah. That's it.
Okay, good. You do have the Riverside Mill food court, which, surprisingly enough, let me just throw this out here. This is my family, like my family's favorite place to go for a meal. It's just the weirdest thing. They love going to the Riverside Mill food court. They have their pasta bar there that you can, you know, put in whatever you want. And ever since I took my family there, they always are like, let's go back to the pasta bar. Okay, family, whatever. It's the most bizarre thing. That's always where they want to go. So that's an option. But of course, at Port Orleans French Quarter, you know, you do have, I mean, the big thing in the beignets.
Oh, so that's
you know, a hardcore option there that you can't pass up. But I don't know. It's just, yeah. It's good.
It is. And the good news is, I mean, overall with this whole thing is these are literally sister resorts. So you can easily go to both food courts. You can go to both pools. We'll talk about that in a second. You know, you can explore one of, and you should, if you stay at one, you should absolutely at least have one meal in the other, you know, or go check out the other pool if you have kids, even if you don't have kids. This is the one place where it's convenient. It's nice walking along the Sesquicentennial River. So We're comparing the two, but I think this is really kind of like one gigantic Mondo resort, if you think about it that way, with two big themes. So back to the dining, though. Pam, chime in on that. What do you think as far as making that choice with dining, if that's important to you?
So if you do want a table service, of course, you're going to want to stay at the Riverside, because that's a decent location. you know, you can, it's right there at the resort. You know, you can walk from French Quarter though. It's always a good point, especially depending on where you're staying, how far you'll be from, you know, that resort or not. But I also think that the Sasagola Floatworks menu at French Quarter is a really good counter service or quick service location. We've talked about this before, but they have this great English muffin breakfast sandwich that has eggs and ham, and also has some kind of, like, I don't know, bacony jam on it or something like that. It's so good. So that's always, you know, a good thing. They have a breakfast flatbread, which has scrambled eggs, and it has like a sausage gravy, but it also has andouille sausage and cheese and peppers and things like that. So that's a great thing too. Of course, we mentioned the beignets that are over there at Sasagola, but did you know that they have a beignet cheeseburger?
Wait, the beignet is
the bun.
For real? Seriously, I haven't heard about that.
They do. They have a beignet cheeseburger. They also have a Creole cheesesteak po' boy. So I think, you know, that sounds pretty good too. Voodoo chicken sandwich, and some other good stuff like that too. Things, I feel like, I just always feel like their food has some interesting, you know, things to do. Like, how about Bayou lasagna? Hello. Yeah. I mean, that sounds great. But then they have like jambalaya and things like that as well. But I think that those are really good choices. And something that's really, you know, sort of exclusive to Sasagola. I mean, not every food court is offering stuff like that. So that's something to really look for. Plus, they have, as one of the sides that you can get with your dinner things, they have mac and cheese. So I don't know. That always gets an extra check from me.
Nice.
So just both really good, really good choices. And I don't think you can go wrong. And we've said this a few times, but I want to say it one more time. You can walk back and forth between the two. You really, truly can. So, or you could even take the bus. So
I'm still stuck on beignet burger. Cheeseburger.
We had it. We did have it. We got to see Jay and Melissa and their kids, and we Steve and I split the beignet burger.
Was it really good?
There was a beignet. I mean, it was a beignet instead of a bun.
You know, Voodoo Donut at Universal just started a burger with two donuts as the patty. Yeah, my brother just texted me a picture of it, and I was like, "Oh my goodness!" So I can see how that would be good.
Back in the day, at our minor league stadium here, the River City Rascals, they had a burger that the bun was a Krispy Kreme donut on each side, so it was probably kind of similar. It's like sweet and kind of savory at the same time. Oh man, I'm going there. Oh, my trip just got better. I'm hoofing it over. See, I'm staying at Riverside, but I'm going to go over to French Quarter and get that sucker. All right, so let's talk. And also, I want to throw this in because we'll totally forget. Jenny Lee Gardner from down in Australia is mentioning in our live chat, don't forget about the beignet bash that they do once a week over at French Quarter. So if you're a runner, even if you're not a runner, this is a great... Hey, if you have the beignet burger, you should probably do the beignet bash.
You should probably be doing some sort of dash, yes.
Even if it's unofficial, you should probably dash a little bit in the next 24 hours just to loosen everything up after that. So, because you get beads and you get a little medal and you get a number. A little fun. I like souvenirs like that. Something you got to earn. Kind of like at Keswicky. All right, so let's talk pools. Pam, so talk to us about the pools. Which one is better for who? What do you think?
Oh, man, so the one at French Quarter has this really awesome sea serpent slide. And I always think, you know, that's really cool for kids to do because it's so visual. I mean, the sea serpent corner sort of weaves his way through the whole pool area. So love that. French Quarter also has one of the best kids' water play areas on property. It just is really cool. It's sort of a Mardi Gras themed. It has Mardi Gras colors, and there's just so much to do. There's water buckets dumping water on you. There's little slides, and there's all kinds of things to play. On the other hand, Riverside has a really great pool area, too. Old Man Island, they call it, right? That's the name, right?
That's it.
Yes. And it's sort of like an old themed sort of location. They have sort of water, like bridges sort of overhead of you, made out of wood, and it sort of has an old fashioned sort of look to it. And that kind of theme, it has, the thing I love about Riverside is they have those trees sort of covered in Spanish moss, and it, that whole area is really cool because of that. They have all that kind of theming. So it's a really great pool too. The slide is fun. You can look over and see the main building, and you get some fantastic photos there at sunset. I mean, and at night too, because that water wheel is really cool. So they both really have great pool areas in their own right.
So Ricky, what do you think about the pools? So Pam's kind of given the overview, but like if you were say that, you know, you landed right there between the two resorts tonight, you wanted to take a swim, why you pick them one over the other?
I mean, I'm a big kid at heart, so I'm going with the Sea Serpent one because, I mean, you get to slide down a serpent's tongue. So. I mean, you know, I'm just a big kid, so I think that would be super fun to go down. I don't know, like I think that I feel like that has a more whimsical theme overall. So I really like that idea. You know, I like the whimsy of you know, serpents, and you've got the gators by the pool and stuff like that too. And I don't know. That's just
plastic gators. Plastic gators.
I mean, yes. Plastic. Not real.
Easy. Because you are right on the river there. I mean, seriously, right on the Sesquicel River. But I mean, that's a good point. And two, with French Quarter, their pool is like right there. Like you can't miss it. It's right there as you go through the main lobby. Right between the buildings, where Riverside, it's recessed. It's called Old Man Island. And one of the things, you know, if I had to pick, I would go Riverside. Just because it seems kind of like a hidden, like a swimming hole or something from back in the day. And what it reminds me of, Pam, when you mentioned kind of the troughs that are above you with the water kind of flowing over the top of you and the wooden supports and stuff. I never got to experience River Country, and I know it's not River Country, but it kind of has that feel to me of what a River Country might have been like.
It does. And it really, I mean, I think that really fits with the theme of the resort. There is also a fishing hole over there, too, where young kids can take a cane pole and do a little fishing. And I think that's a really cool part of the theme too. The other thing is that over at Riverside, you're going to be able to take a horse and carriage ride. Mm-hmm. They leave from that location. They sort of travel around the resort. And that's a very cool, another themed activity that I think they've done a great job of incorporating into that resort.
And kind of piggybacking on that, I know Riverside has the bicycle rentals and the Surrey bikes, just the plain old, you know, two-wheeler bikes and the Surrey bikes. They don't have that stuff at French Quarter, I don't think.
They don't, and I think the idea really is that since they are sister resorts, that folks could go over and check those out at Riverside if they want to.
And that's, you know, I like that Disney is using that methodology, you know, because I don't think you would need to have Surrey bikes and bicycles, regular bicycles at both resorts, because you just walk over to one, you ride them, and it's, you know, it's kind of a communal thing. I like that because, you know, too much of a good thing is too much. All right. So we've talked about rooms. We've talked about dining. We've talked about kind of first timers. We've talked about the pools. So let's kind of talk about overall theme as far as like, you know, thematic, how it all holds together. Pam mentioned something that I wanted to bring up. And one of the reasons I love Riverside, and again, this is just from, and I think this is for all of us, you know, we all have our different reasons as to why one theme jumps out at us over another, is that, you know, we used to drive down to Walt Disney World for years from the Midwest. And, you know, it's about a 14-hour drive. And one of the benchmarks we always looked for as we drove down through Illinois and then Kentucky, then Tennessee, then Georgia, then we hit Florida, was we'd always look for the very first palm tree somewhere in Georgia, usually southern Georgia, the central to southern Georgia. You'd see your first palm tree at like some, you know, sleazy hotel. But the thing that got me always so excited to be in Florida was, you mentioned it, Pam, was the Spanish moss you would see hanging on the trees on the side of the interstate. In Riverside has that just everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like the Spanish moss is part of the theme. And to me, I mean, just because of my background, that was always like the indicator, like, oh, you're getting closer to your vacation. You're getting closer to Walt Disney World. So when I see the Spanish moss and I hear the crickets and stuff over in, like, especially Alligator Bayou, and you're walking over some of the streams back in Alligator Bayou, there's little bridges. That's my go-to. I love that. So what about thematic? What jumps out to you, Ricky, between the two? Riverside's theme and the Nolens theme over at French Quarter.
Yeah, I mean, I do love the, you know, Nolan's theme. You know, you've got the streets that, you know, really look like actual kind of streets in a way, with the street signs and the wrought iron and stuff like that. But for me, I really think that Riverside is there's just something so special about it. You know, it does have, you know, the mansions are definitely, they feel very stately and elegant. And then, you have the, you know, the Alligator Bayou section, which is super rustic feeling. And I love that there's the dichotomy in the two, sections, and they're both so very different, but they help to form the one resort. And I really do love that. I think that, it's super peaceful, you know, especially in the Alligator Bayou section, if you're pretty far out back there. But I feel like it could still be peaceful too with, the mansions and stuff like that. But I think the Riverside wins for me, you know, as far as overall feel of the resort. Just it really does. Not that Port Orleans French Quarter doesn't take you somewhere different, but I really feel like Riverside it really takes you somewhere different and relaxing. And I feel like that's perfect for vacation.
What about you, Pam? What do you think?
So it's such a toss up for me, because I really do like parts of both of it, but there is something about, I think, that French Quarter theme that they do so well. They have little street signs that say Rue de Bega and all of that. And there are, you know, some locations that you are in that resort when you look at sort of the scrolling on the balcony railings and the colors of the building and the brick lined streets, you know, that you could sort of close your eyes and wonder really hard, like, where am I? Like, am I in New Orleans, like in a really, really clean little quiet location in New Orleans? And I love that. They do a great job. Like, even I can remember walking through, we were staying in one of the farther buildings, and we would walk past this little fountain courtyard every day, you know, to get to our rooms. And it just was really, they did a great job of that. I loved it. I just, you know, these were built during a time when Disney was really conscientious about the theming and carrying that through everything. And I feel that when I'm there. I feel that when I'm there at both locations.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm thinking, like, background loops is a part of the theming. I like the background music better at French Quarter with that jazz playing, especially at night. I mean, it is killer romantic, at least in my eyes. Like, I just love walking down those skinny little streets with some jazz music playing. Riverside's got great kind of a banjo type music playing, but give me that jazz. Love that stuff. All right, so let's talk a couple other things. Shopping, I think they're about equal. Riverside probably has a bigger, I know they do, they have a bigger store there. And it's themed. They even have like a little, it's not really an audio animatronic, but little moving characters. So Pam, talk to us about, real quick, I mean, you don't have to go really in depth on this, but shopping at the two resorts.
They do. Riverside is certainly a larger location, and they seem to have some unique items there every now and then. Sometimes I'll go into the shop at Riverside and I'll see something and I'll think, well, I have not seen this anywhere else. Like, how did it end up here? I wonder what the buyers, you know, if that has their own little buying department or what goes on there, because that has happened to me a few times. But French Quarter, once again, I think even though it is a smaller shop, they do a lot with what they have. So I think they are really comparable in that space.
What I do like about both is that they usually do have resort specific, like polos and maybe jackets, you know, like light windbreakers, hats. And even over Marathon Weekend, when I was staying there this past year, and I don't know, because I was only staying at Riverside, so I'm not sure if this was everywhere, but I noticed they had, you know, select Run Disney Expo merchandise, like hats you could get at the Expo, water bottles, a couple of T-shirts. So it was kind of nice, because a lot of times, I mean, the runners will get this. You go to the Expo and you don't want to spend all your money, you know, so you're trying to get your bib and you'll buy like a shirt, but then, you know, you're like, I don't need that hat. But then, like, you see people walking around, like, for the next 2 days, everybody's wearing that hat that you should have gotten. So then when it was at the Riverside, it was easy to pick it up. So Disney's smart, because they get your money, you know, either way. But it was nice. Like, you got a second chance, and I hope they do that more. So, Ricky, let's talk real quick. What about shopping? Do you ever shop at French Quarter? Because they have a nice little shop. It's just not as big.
No, actually, I can't say I've done a whole lot of shopping there. And it's probably because of that fact. I mean, it's one of those things where I don't really think about shopping there since I haven't stayed there technically. You know, I've visited, of course, but I've never actually stayed there. I haven't had a need to go shopping. So, yeah, I really haven't done much shopping there, actually, unfortunately.
Oh, that's good.
I haven't spent all the money. So that
smart. All right, yes. So one of the things, obviously, that Riverside has an advantage, it has live entertainment and Yeehaw Bob at the River Roost Lounge. I think he's very, very popular, very talented man. We'll be with him at the Indie Disney Meet September 21st, so come out and see him and us. But he puts on a great show Wednesday through Saturday nights. Pam, do you know, do they still have the jazz musician over at French Quarter, the Scat Cat?
They do have musicians that perform over there in that lounge, for sure. Yes, they do.
So the one thing, obviously, the French Quarter's lacking, the biggest thing is the sit-down restaurant over Riverside. They used to have, what was it called, like Bonfamils? I can never say
Bonfamils.
That word.
Bonfamils. It's from the Aristocats. Yes, they do. But, and the thing that we haven't really, well, we sort of mentioned it, but the thing that we need to mention, because I think this is a huge plus for both resorts, and they both have it, is boat transportation to Disney Springs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a big, big plus, I think, to be able to leave the drive into Disney and not even have to worry about getting on the bus. You get on the boat. And the great thing about the boat is if you've met the count and you can get on that boat, you have a seat, my friends.
That's true.
You aren't standing like you could be on a bus. You're going to be sitting down as you take that leisurely drive back to Riverside or French Quarter. So I think that's huge.
If you're standing, you're the captain.
That's right. You're the captain's helper.
That's it. Mike, will you be my little helper today to get us safely through the tree houses back to Disney Springs? Now you don't even know until you go on those boats. I mean, and it's so funny, Ricky. I mean, I'm sure you've heard this in the Disney community, that I've heard folks say that one of their favorite attractions from their Disney vacation was the boat ride between one of the Port Orleans resorts and Disney Springs. It's that fun. It's that cool.
No, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
I agree. Like,
it's a great boat ride. I've definitely done that one, and it's so fantastic. So
it is. Yeah. At twilight. My favorite time is at twilight. It's so nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. So I think this has been a kind of a good introduction or something just to think about, because a lot of times we narrow it down. You know, we say, well, this trip, we're going to be saving some money. We're going value. This one, we're going to splurge. It's an anniversary or a honeymoon or just some special occasion in life. We're going to go deluxe. You know, we're going to kind of go down the middle this time. And you might narrow it down to just like a French Quarter in Riverside. You're so close, but it's kind of fun to weigh the pros and cons. So as we close this out, Pam, final words on this discussion between Riverside and French Quarter. What's the bottom line for people to think about?
I want everyone to remember that when you are booking, there are going to be certain times that French Quarter might be not available with a discount or that. So know that going into, if price is going to be the thing that you're ultimately focused on, then Riverside is likely going to be the one that you're going to have a better luck at finding those discounted prices. Now that's not all the time. I'm just saying that that's something to consider. Don't feel like your vacation is going to be impacted in a good or bad way if you have to stay at one when you were thinking you were going to stay at the other. Because I think you're going to have a great experience. And the best part is that you will be able to experience both of the resorts if you want to. You can legally, this is Disney legal, you can swim in both resorts. You can eat at both of the restaurants at each resort. You can take the transportation to each resort. So this is all legal. You can do this above boards and really enjoy both. So
you will not be featured on Walt Disney World Live PD this fall.
No, you will not. Service. You will not.
That's a shame. All right, final words, Ricky. What do you say between these two resorts?
You know, I really think that they're just fantastic resorts. I mean, they have such an upscale feel. They almost feel like deluxe, even though they're not. You know, that's kind of one of the great things about them is they have that, you know, especially if you're moving up from a value to a moderate in this category here. I really think that these two have like that extra oomph to them. Not that, you know, Caribbean Beach or Coronado doesn't, but there's really something special and makes it feel a little bit more posh, I guess, to move up to, you know, the Riverside, either Riverside Resort. So I love them. I think they're fantastic. I love exploring them, and definitely give it a try if you haven't, because they are both great resorts.
Either place you stay, make sure you get up one morning, you know, maybe sunrise, and go for a run or a walk along the path there between the two resorts. As I'm telling you, when you see the Sasagula River at sunrise before they get the boats out, it's like glass, and you see the reflection of everything. The golf course is on the other side of the river. It is just amazing. It's a great place to run, and it's, you know, the last comment I'm going to say on this topic for the Port Orleans resorts is, you know, when you stay here, do take the time to take advantage of the amenities. You know, go see Bob one night instead of going to see the fireworks, or go make sure you have a pool day, because the pools are great. You know, have a drink at the poolside bars. They both have poolside bars. You know, get some snacks in the food courts. I mean, Ricky, you nailed it. Like, earlier this week, Mallory was like, God, we're staying at Riverside, right? I'm like, yeah. She goes, I love that food court. And I'm like, yeah,
nice.
It's
yeah,
good. I mean, people
so
love
great.
That one. So, yeah, take advantage. But Pam said it. You can't go wrong either way. Sister Resort, you get to take advantage of everything. So, either way. All right, hope you enjoy this, you know, kind of second episode here in the mini-series where we're comparing Sister Resorts. We'll talk about Animal Kingdom Lodge and Wilderness Lodge coming up here in the future, and a couple others as well. So thank you so much for being a part of the show. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Again, the 2020 packages are now available. You can book all the way through December 31st, 2020 with those dining plans, tickets, hotel rooms, and everything else. Your memory maker, you can add the travel insurance if you're wanting to be safe, and you should be doing that. But I mean, sometimes I've rolled the dice, but Don't do as Mike does. I'm telling you, don't listen to me. Just, you know, do you. So if you want to book that package, drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials. Big incentives if you book early. You got a month. So get on that. Of course, just fill out the quote form. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast, and we'll get on that right away. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, support the show with our Amazon affiliate link, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so much. Follow us on the social. We're on Instagram, and we're on the gram. I want to do it like Mallory says. We're on the gram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And of course, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We're going to have a live show, call-in show, this Sunday night. So join us this weekend, Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, talking any Disney topic you have to get ahead for vacation. All right, so we're going to get out of here, let you get on with your weekend. For Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you an awesome Friday. We can get out there and have some fun, but stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.